Father, we ask tonight for your presence, for your help. We need your help to understand your word. We always need your help in all things.
Amen.
So we ask for this help. We know that you are faithful, you are able and willing to help your people. So we thank you for this. We thank you for your son, Jesus Christ. We thank you that he has redeemed us. He has purchased us by his own blood. We thank you that your Holy Spirit has opened our hearts to understand and receive this truth. And we ask for his help in our lives to continue walking the steps of faith that you have prepared for us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
We are in Hebrews 11. Last week, we've started looking at the faith of Moses, first of his parents when he was born. They hid him for 3 months rather than submit to the king's ungodly command to kill their son. They were not afraid. They feared God more. Then we looked at Moses himself, his faith. When he was of age, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. I'll just read this, the whole section dealing with Moses and his lifetime. So Hebrews 11, verse 23, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child and they were not afraid of the king's command. By faith Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. By faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he who destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, whereas the Egyptians, attempting to do so, were drowned. So we covered verses 23 through 26 last week, dealing with the first 40 years of Moses' life. So now, starting at verse 27, by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. So there's two things he did in this verse. First, he forsook Egypt, and then second, he endured as seeing him who is invisible. So first, he forsook Egypt by faith. Some translations here will say that he left Egypt. The Greek word here means to leave behind or to abandon. It can be used just as meaning to depart for a while, but it's not necessarily a permanent departure. So in Luke 15:4, Jesus asked, "What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it?" So there he's leaving, but he will return to the others. But the same word can mean to renounce, to forsake, and it's used in this way in Luke 5, verse 28. Jesus saw a certain tax collector named Levi sitting at the tax office and said to him, "Follow me." So he left all, rose up, and followed him. So Levi abandoned it all. He counted it all as unimportant and followed Christ. So in Moses' life, there are two times when he left Egypt. We looked at the first time last week in Exodus chapter 2. At verse 11, it says, "Now it came to pass in those days when Moses was grown that he went out to his brethren and looked at their burdens. And he saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, one of his brethren. So he looked this way and that way, and when he saw no one, he killed the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. And when he went out, the second day, behold, two Hebrew men were fighting. And he said to the one who did the wrong, why are you striking your companion? Then he said, who made you a prince and a judge over us? You intend to kill me as you killed the Egyptian. So Moses feared and said, surely this thing is known. When Pharaoh heard of this matter, he sought to kill Moses. But Moses fled from the face of Pharaoh and dwelt in the land of Midian. And he sat down by the well. So there, Moses left Egypt, but that was different circumstances. Those circumstances were not consistent with faith. There we are told that Moses feared and Moses fled from Pharaoh. But here in Hebrews we're told that he forsook Egypt not fearing the wrath of the king. So the second time Moses left, he turned his back on Egypt. The second time he was not moved by fear. His faith in God overcame his fear of the king. So to kind of quickly summarize the story in Moses' life leading up to this point. The first time Moses left Egypt after killing the Egyptian, he was 40 years old. He lived in the land of Midian. There he married. He had two sons. He was a shepherd, tending his father-in-law's flock. After 40 years had passed, God called to him from the midst of a bush that was burning with fire, but was not consumed by the fire. So there in Exodus 3, we're told that God told him, the cry of the children of Israel has come to me, and I also have seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppress them. Come now, therefore, and I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. So Moses left the life that he had known for 40 years, again, and returned to Egypt to deliver the Israelites to the land that God had promised to Abraham.
So he was 80.
Yes. Yes, he was 80 at this point. While in Egypt, Moses faced the unbelieving Israelites and the stubborn Pharaoh, but God worked a series of miracles, which we call the 10 plagues, and these miracles overcame all obstacles, and in the end, Moses forsook Egypt. The first time he fled as a solitary fugitive, he was running for his life. The second time he left as the leader of the Israelite people. The first time he left because of fear. The second time he left by faith. He forsook Egypt. And then it says he was not fearing the wrath of the king. This can be seen in his repeated appearances before Pharaoh. The Egyptian king was angry with Moses. He was angry with God. He would not submit to the Lord. But Moses was not moved by fear of the king. Yeah. Instead, he was moved by faith in God. Yes?
Isn't that something? Even his own parents, Moses' real parents, didn't fear either.
Right, right. It was a different king of Egypt at that time, from the time he was born to when 80 years later, it was a different Pharaoh. We're told that, I think it's the end of Exodus 2. But yeah, it is remarkable. Neither one of them feared the king. They both showed faith in God. So after they left Egypt, he still did not fear the wrath of the king. We'll look at that later tonight, but the Israelites were closed in by the land. They were up against the Red Sea, with the Egyptian army pursuing behind them. The Israelites feared, we're told that, but Moses said to them, do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. So, again, he was not fearing the armies of the king, the wrath of the king, that even then. So faith enabled Moses to remain calm in the face of danger. Faith works faith overcomes fear. Fear works against faith. They're contrary to each other. So in Psalm 27:1, David says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" When we firmly believe in the Lord, there's nothing on earth to fear. Nothing to fear if we are secure in His hand.
Why? In that scripture that says, "He that feareth is not made perfect in love, because fear hath torment." Mm-hmm. So love casts out fear. Right. So then, where does the faith come in with the love and all that that you said is
coming? Well, we have to believe in His love. If we don't believe that He loves us, then we will fear, live in fear, I guess.
Huh.
So, another psalm that speaks about fear and faith in God, I suppose, would be Psalm 46. It begins, "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling." So if we hold our confidence in God, if He is our strength, if He is our refuge, our light, our salvation, then there is nothing to fear. The stronger our faith is, the lesser our fear becomes. So Moses endured as seeing Him who is invisible. He endured. He was strong. He was steadfast. He did not waver in his decision to forsake Egypt. He firmly persevered in obeying God's plan for him to deliver the Israelites. He was not moved by the opposition that he met from his own countrymen and from Pharaoh. So in Exodus 4, we are told that the Israelites were initially glad when Moses came to them. They were happy to hear that God would deliver them. So Exodus 4 at verse 29, "Moses and Aaron went and gathered together all the elders of the children of Israel. And Aaron spoke all the words which the Lord had spoken to Moses. Then he did the signs in the sight of the people. So the people believed. And when they heard that the Lord had visited the children of Israel and that He had looked on their affliction, then they bowed their heads and worshiped." And so initially they were welcoming to Moses and Aaron. But after their first meeting with Pharaoh, Pharaoh increased the labors of the Israelite slaves. So in Exodus chapter 5, verse 21, the Israelite officers said to Moses and Aaron, "Let the Lord look on you and judge, because you have made us abhorrent in the sight of Pharaoh and in the sight of his servants, to put a sword in their hand to kill us." So there they started being against Moses and Aaron and against their leadership. So in Exodus 6, the Lord spoke to Moses again. He repeated His promise to the Israelites. Moses repeated God's promise to deliver the Israelites. He repeated that to them. But it says in verse 9, they did not heed Moses because of anguish of spirit and cruel bondage. So again, they were not happy with Moses. Moses had opposition from within, from his own countrymen. And Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, right from the beginning said, "Who is the Lord that I should obey His voice to let Israel go? I do not know the Lord, nor will I let Israel go."
Big mistake.
Yes.
You got that right.
He continued in hard-hearted refusal to submit to the living God. But Moses endured. Moses persisted. He continued to obey God's commands to go before Pharaoh with various threatenings, of which all of them God fulfilled. And he did this without fear. He endured. So these kind of all go together. So he endured as seeing him who is invisible. We're told in verse 1 of Hebrews 11 that faith is the evidence, the proof, or the conviction of things not seen. Here we're told Moses endured as seeing him who is invisible. So this was by faith also. Moses focused on God. He did not focus on Pharaoh. He did not focus on the Israelites. He endured through his affliction, through his trials, as seeing him who is invisible. So a couple of scriptures that kind of relate to this in the New Testament. 2 Corinthians 4. Paul wrote to them, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal." And then Peter goes on to speak of similar again about going through trials, afflictions, and seeing loving whom we do not see. So in 1 Peter 1:6, "In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, you love. Though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls." So, we'll talk about this a little more later, but we see him with the eyes of faith. We see him not with our physical eyes, but we love him even though we don't see him, we believe. Yet believing, we rejoice, and we receive the end of our faith, the salvation of our souls. And this kind of reminds me also of what Jesus said to Thomas, that blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. First would not believe without seeing the risen Savior, without seeing Christ in his body raised from the dead. But after he saw them, he believed. But he saw him visibly. So Moses endured as seeing God without seeing him with his eyes. So Moses did these things by faith, by believing, by being assured and confident in things that God had revealed to him. So God revealed to him that he would use Moses to deliver the Israelites from slavery. And that was at the burning bush in Exodus 3. At verse 7, "The Lord said, I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt, and have heard their cries because of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. So I have come down to deliver them out of the land of the Egyptians, out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up from that land to a good and large land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come to me, and I have also seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppressed them. Come now, therefore, and I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt." So by faith, Moses believed what God had promised there. And then verse 18, then they will heed your voice. That is the... let me pin it back up. So the Lord speaking to Moses, telling them to tell the Israelites that God had sent him to them. And then it says, then they will heed your voice, and you shall come, you and the elders of Israel, to the king of Egypt, and you shall say to him, the Lord God of the Hebrews has met with us, and now please let us go 3 days' journey into the wilderness, that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God. But I am sure that the king of Egypt will not let you go, not even by a mighty hand. So I will stretch out my hand and strike Egypt with all my wonders, which I will do in its midst, and after that he will let you go. And I will give this people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. And it shall be when you go that you shall not go empty-handed. But every woman shall ask of her neighbor, namely of her who dwells near her house, articles of silver, articles of gold, and clothing, and you shall put them on your sons and on your daughters. So you shall plunder the Egyptians. So this was the word of God that he had given to Moses. This is what he believed by faith. This is the promise that God gave him that enabled him to carry out God's plan for him. Mm-hmm. Moses believed God's word. He believed that the Lord was able to do what he said, and that the Lord was willing to do what he had said. Through his persevering faith, Moses forsook Egypt. He led the Israelites out of that country and out of their slavery. He believed that God would keep his promise to bring them into the land that he had sworn to give to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. So the purpose now of looking at this example of Moses' faith is to strengthen, for the writer at that time, for the strengthening of the Hebrew Christians' faith, but it is to strengthen all Christians' faith. What faith did for Moses, faith can do for you. It can do for me. Faith can enable us to make sacrifices, to leave all and follow Christ. Faith can enable us to endure, persevere in obedience to God despite every opposition. Faith will give us peace. It will not give us terror or fear. We have promises from God. We have the promise that whoever believes in the Lord Jesus Christ will be saved, shall not perish, but have everlasting life. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Whoever confesses Christ before men, he will confess before his Father in heaven. And whoever denies Christ before men, he will deny before his Father in heaven. So we have these promises in God's word. If we believe these truths, by faith we are willing to leave house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or farms for Christ's sake and for the gospel's sake. Because we look to the reward. We know that what God has said is true. We believe. So by faith we can do what we need to do for his sake. By faith, nothing, no person, no land, no possessions will hold us back from following our Lord. Okay, verse 28. By faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he who destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith, Moses kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood. He observed these ordinances that God had prescribed for them. So in Exodus 12, the Lord gave Moses and Aaron the instructions concerning the Passover. So I did want to read a good section of that. Not the whole chapter, but I'll read from verse 3 through verse 13. speak to all the congregation of Israel. This is the Lord telling Moses this. Speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying, on the 10th of this month, every man shall take for himself a lamb according to the house of his father, a lamb for a household. And if the household is too small for a lamb, let him take his neighbor, let him and his neighbor next to his house take it according to the number of the persons. According to each man's need, you shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats. Now you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. Then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it at twilight. And they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and on the lintel of the houses where they eat it. Then they shall eat the flesh that night, roasted in fire, with unleavened bread and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Do not eat it raw, nor boiled at all with water, but roasted in fire, its head with its legs and its entrails. You shall let none of it remain until morning, and what remains of it until morning you shall burn with fire. And thus you shall eat it, with a belt on your waist, your sandals on your feet, your staff in your hand. So you shall eat it with in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt on that night, and will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. Now the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be on you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. So at verse 21 there, the Lord, Moses repeated the Lord's instructions to the elders of Israel, and the people obeyed the Lord's command. That's in verse 28 there. Then the children of Israel went away and did so, just as the Lord had commanded Moses and Aaron, so they did. So Moses and the Israelites observed the Passover and the sprinkling of blood. They sacrificed the lambs, they dipped hyssop in its blood and sprinkled it on their lintel and doorposts. They ate its meat roasted in fire with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. All that the Lord commanded them, they did. They observed it by faith, so that he who destroyed the firstborn did not touch them. So this was called the Passover because while the Lord was executing judgment against the Egyptians, when he saw the blood on the houses of the Israelites, he passed over them and destroyed them when he struck the Egyptians.
Does that sound kind of familiar in a way? You know what I'm going with, don't you? You know where I'm going at with that?
Maybe.
Yeah. The same way that we're saved by the blood.
Yeah. So he who destroyed the firstborn, this phrase could refer to God himself. We saw in Exodus 12, verse 12 and 13, the Lord said, I will pass through the land of Egypt. I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. When I see the blood, I will pass over you when I strike the land of Egypt. But later in that chapter in verse 23, I should have left this open there. In verse 23, Moses told the Israelites, the Lord will pass through to strike the Egyptians, and when he sees the blood on the lintel and on the two doorposts, the Lord will pass over the door and not allow the destroyer to come into your house to strike you. So there, it could be a separate person who is the destroyer. So some people would interpret this as saying that the Lord was employing some kind of angelic being to do this work of destruction for him. The Lord went through the land. He saw the blood on the Israelites' houses and did not allow his angel to enter those houses to kill the firstborn. But whether it was God himself or whether he used some agent to do his work for him, it makes little difference because it was all done according to his will. It was God who spared. It was God who directed who was not to be spared.
Well, weren't they warned to put the blood on the doors?
Yeah.
Okay, and some of them that didn't, they disobeyed then, right?
We aren't told of any that didn't, but...
I'm just wondering, because if they did disobey and they were told to, well, the wages of sin is death, Matt.
Okay, right. We're not told of any Israelites that disobeyed, and we're not told of any Egyptians who obeyed. So it would seem that perhaps they all obeyed, and perhaps none of the Egyptians did. But the command wasn't given to the Egyptians anyway. It was for the Israelites. So Moses kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood so that he who destroyed the firstborn should not touch them. He did not touch them. His hand was not against the Israelites. He did not move against them for harm. He did not destroy their firstborn. Just kind of one interesting comment I came across was that the destroyer performed his task with ease because just his touch was fatal for the Egyptians, for their firstborn. So again, Moses observed these things by faith. We looked at the command, and we looked at what God had told Moses. He said exactly what would take place. And Moses believed the word of God. He acted on his belief. He obeyed what God told him to do. Moses did not have the foresight in himself to know the exact night that God would do these things, that God would free his people from Egypt. And he certainly could not have come up on his own with the method that God would use to preserve his people from the destruction that is coming upon the land of Egypt. It wasn't something that Moses imagined. It was something that God revealed to him. It came from the word of God. Moses believed God's revelation, and then he repeated them to the Israelites. And believing, they obeyed. So how does this apply to Christians? We do not observe the Passover and the sprinkling of blood. We understand that it was symbolic for the coming sacrifice of Christ. It was symbolic for the effectiveness of his blood to deliver us from divine judgment. But the writer of Hebrews isn't really dealing with that aspect of the Passover. His focus is on the power of faith to enable people to do what God asks of them and to receive the promises that he gives to them. So it is likely that the Egyptians would have thought it strange for all the Israelites to sprinkle their doorposts with blood. If something like that happened today here in this country, it would be strange to see all of one race of people one night start sprinkling blood on their doorpost. That would seem strange to us. They couldn't give any explanation for it other than that God had commanded it. But believing the command, they observed the Passover and sprinkling of blood. So God has commanded his people things in his word. For example, he has commanded us, believers, to bless those who persecute us and not to retaliate, not to hate our enemies, but instead to love them, to overcome evil with good. And to the world, this may seem strange. It is not natural. It may go against our own natural tendencies, but we are to believe God, that vengeance belongs only to him.
Well, he tells us in his word not to render evil for evil. There's a reason for that. Because think about it. If those that afflict us and do us harm, whether it be with words, horrible words, or some kind of physical damage. How are you any different than the one that's afflicting you if you can't love and forgive? Well, love is the evidence. You know?
Yeah.
Otherwise, you ain't no different than them if you're going to retaliate.
Right? Yeah. Another example then would be that we can have peace, we can have joy, no matter what's coming our way, which kind of goes against the world. It's not understood by them. The peace of God surpasses knowledge. It's not understood by people. Just don't quite get it, how we can be at peace no matter what's happening to us or around us. But by faith, we are to do what God asks. Moses and the Israelites believed that God would spare them and judge the Egyptians if they observed the Passover and the sprinkling of blood. This belief led them to obey and to receive the promised deliverance. God has promised us that whoever believes in his only begotten Son shall not perish but have everlasting life.
That's right.
If we believe his word and believing, obey it, we will receive the promise. So by faith, we will not perish but have everlasting life. Just as another example, how this can apply to us, how it can help strengthen our faith to look at the faith of the Old Testament saints.
So. Right. Like Daniel.
Yes, yes.
How he bowed three times a day, no matter what they were going to do to him. Even went to the lion's den.
Yes, yes. And his three Hebrew friends did not fear the king, but they were cast into the fiery furnace rather than bow down to him.
Their siblings, too, their loved ones, too, went for a little ride in that den with them. It wasn't just those three, it was their families too, and you read it, it was their husband, and or their wives, and their family members. And
right, we're talking about a different time, but yeah.
They were all cast in there.
Yes, those who worked against Daniel, yes, their families were all cast in there.
Right.
In the lion's den?
You betcha, man. Yeah. They pulled a horrible thing on Daniel, man. He obeyed everything of the law, in so much that the king wanted to set him above all the things of his affairs and everything. Well,
his family was there.
These three men were so jealous of that, and they couldn't find nothing against Daniel concerning the law, so they tried to find something against his God. My, turned the tables by changing the law right underneath his nose, man. You know, and a decree was declared, and the law was changed underneath his nose. He didn't care. He went and worshiped God, the one and only true God, and they went and told the king, and
isn't that because of choice? They tricked the king?
Yeah, they basically did. Because he was sorrowful that he had to do that to Daniel. They did trick him.
Yeah, he didn't want to do it.
Right. You know, that could have also been why he was very angry at those three. Because, you know, he probably realized that they had been snowed. You know? That's incredible.
Okay, by faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, whereas the Egyptians attempting to do so were drowned. So this we see in Exodus 14. The emphasis here is not on Moses' faith in the parting of the sea, but it's on the faith of the people in walking through it. They acted by faith. At first, they were rebellious, they feared. They did not believe that God was for them. So, to kind of get the setting, they had just left Egypt after the Passover, after the Lord killed the firstborn of all the Egyptians, they sent all the Israelites out. So the Israelites were out of Egypt. They were in the land. Well, let's kind of pick up chapter 14, verse 3. The Lord is speaking to Moses. He said, "For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, 'They are bewildered by the land. The wilderness has closed them in.' Then I will harden Pharaoh's heart so that he will pursue them. And I will gain honor over Pharaoh and over all his army, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord." And they did so. So Pharaoh and his servants were sorry that they had let the Israelites go. They decided to try to get them back. They pursued them with their armies. So in Exodus 14, verse 10, "When Pharaoh grew near, the children of Israel lifted their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. So they were very afraid, and the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. Then they said to Moses, 'Because there were no graves in Egypt, have you taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why have you so dealt with us to bring us up out of Egypt? Is this not the word that we told you in Egypt, saying, "Let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians"? For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness." So they did not believe that God would deliver them at that point. But Moses reassured them in verse 13. Moses said to the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again no more forever. The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace."
So it was Moses' faith that taught to the people. They had no faith.
At first, right. He still had his faith. It was enduring. They were not believing.
Right.
But he spoke this word to them. Then, after the Lord divided the waters, the Israelites went into the midst of the sea on dry ground. The waters were a wall to them on their right hand and on their left.
Boy, that had to have been a sight. Can you imagine that?
Yeah.
All of a sudden, the ocean just goes like this. In the world. That had been awesome to see that. No doubt.
We're told by faith they passed through, so this is speaking of their faith. They believed the word that Moses spoke to them from God. God had promised them deliverance from the Egyptians. Believing God's word, their faith would have been strengthened by the division of the waters, because if God could divide the waters for them, he could keep them divided until they were safely through.
Right.
If the Israelites did not believe that God would get them through it, if they did not believe that God would deliver them through the waters, they probably would have tried to go back and make peace with the Egyptians, negotiate with them somehow to take them back.
That was nothing for the Lord. I read in his word how he tells the waters not to go past its boundary.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. In that case, he changed the boundaries.
Exactly.
But by faith, they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land. Faith enabled to do what otherwise they could not have done, and that is to obey God's command. And faith enabled them to obtain what otherwise they could not have obtained, and that was safe passage through the sea and security from the Egyptian army that was pursuing them. So one question that kind of came up then in studying this was, if these Israelites acted by faith, does that mean that they were saved? And in a sense, yes, and in a sense, no. They were saved from the Egyptians, that is definite. Are their souls saved for eternity? Do they have everlasting life with God? Well, only God can answer that definitively. But as a general principle, We know that the majority of the Israelites did not believe God. Those who left Egypt did not enter Canaan because of unbelief. Later on, that was only a short time later, a month or two later, they refused to enter. Now, there may have been some among them who, through faith, obtained eternal life, but their faith, what they believed, as a whole, what these Israelites believed was God's revelation that he would deliver them through the water and that the Egyptian army would not be a problem for them anymore. They believed this promise of God, they obeyed and they went through and they received this deliverance.
Exactly, that's the key word right there, delivered.
If that was the extent of their faith, if that's all that they believed, then that was the extent of their salvation. Just deliverance from the Egyptians.
Right.
I did hear another view where someone was saying that the faith was of the younger people of the Israelites, because those who were over 20 years old refused to enter the land, and they were not able to go into the land of Canaan, but the younger ones, the ones who were children at that time, were allowed to go into Canaan. So it could be that the younger ones had faith that let them go through, but all of them passed through the Red Sea, whether or not they entered Canaan.
They were having a lot of faith problems.
Yes.
I mean, remember the serpent on the staff?
Yeah.
And a lot of them that wouldn't believe, well, boom, well, they were being bit like crazy by snakes.
Huh. Generally, their whole time in the wilderness was characterized by unbelief.
Exactly. God, I read him in God's word. He was so merciful time and time and time. And he remembered they were just but dust, you know. But he still kept forgiving and forgiving, and they just kept tempting him and just basically laughing in his face, you know. It's just horrible. You know?
Yeah. So the Egyptians, attempting to do so, were drowned.
And that's another thing. They seen things that we couldn't even imagine.
Okay, yeah.
You know?
But they saw with their eyes. They didn't see with their faith.
Exactly. Remember the verse at the beginning?
Hearing
is
not fixed,
but believeth and hath not seen.
Yeah. Yeah.
No doubt.
So at the end of Exodus 14, verse 26, we see that the Egyptians, attempting to do so, were drowned. Then the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand over the sea, that the waters may come back upon the Egyptians, on their chariots and on their horsemen. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and when the morning appeared, the sea returned to its full depth, while the Egyptians were fleeing into it. So the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. Then the waters returned and covered the chariots, the horsemen, and all the army of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. Not so much as one of them remained, but the children of Israel had walked on dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall to them on the right hand and on their left.
Wow.
So the Lord saved Israel that day out of the land of the Egyptians, and Israel out of the hand of the Egyptians, keeps reading hand, land, out of the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead on the seashore. Thus Israel saw the great work which the Lord had done in Egypt. So the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. So they did believe for a time, yes, but their faith did not endure. It was not
strong.
Okay, it was not strong.
Well, now I've got a question. Then what makes our faith keep enduring? Is it the Holy Spirit that's sealed in us that keeps our faith enduring by strengthening our faith constantly? Is that true? Is that what it is? Because their faith didn't endure, and yet they've seen with their own eyes.
Well, he begins the work of faith in us, and he continues it in us. It's all of God. It's not really something we can do on our own.
Right.
Having begun in the Spirit, we are not perfected in the flesh. We can't continue in the faith on our own. We have to rely on God.
Right. Right on. Right on. And you're saying that the Holy Spirit increases our faith, basically.
Yeah. He keeps us in the faith. Yeah.
Well, praise the Lord.
Because I know I want my faith to endure. Amen to that.
So in the next chapter, in Exodus 15, we have a kind of poetical description of the Egyptians drowning in the middle of the sea. So Exodus 15, at verse 4, it says, Pharaoh's chariots and his army he has cast into the sea. His chosen captains are also drowned in the Red Sea. The depths have covered them. They sank to the bottom like a stone. Your right hand, O Lord, has become glorious in power. Your right hand, O Lord, has dashed the enemy in pieces. And in the greatness of your excellence, you have overthrown those who rose against you. You sent forth your wrath. It consumed them like stubble. And with the blast of your nostrils, the waters were gathered together. The flood stood upright like a heap. The depths congealed in the heart of the sea. The enemy said, I will pursue, I will overtake, I will divide the spoil. My desire shall be satisfied on them. I will draw my sword. My hand shall destroy them. You blew with your wind, the sea covered them, they sank like lead in the mighty waters.
Wow.
So that was part of the song that Moses and the Israelites sang after crossing over.
It sounds like the prowl became stubble. You know what I mean? Huh?
Yeah.
Those that oppose the Lord.
Yeah. By faith they passed through, but the Egyptians attempting to do so were drowned. So those who attempt to do without faith what believers successfully do by faith will be disappointed. Those who attempt to obtain without faith what believers succeed in obtaining by faith will be disappointed. By faith we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. But without faith, any attempt for a lasting peace will end in disappointment. There is no peace to be found without God, without faith in God. We are sanctified by believing the truth,
right.
But any attempt to make oneself holy without believing in the truth will end in disappointment. It cannot be done. We have to have faith.
Well, how in the world can anybody be holy without the Holy Spirit?
Right.
I mean, you're trusting in your own righteousness then. It's only His righteousness that He cloaks us in that makes all the difference. And you ain't getting that cloak of righteousness unless you've been saved and sealed with the Holy Spirit, which helps us to be more Christ-like. So. Calm down.
Sounds like fun. So, in the end, believing, we will receive the salvation of our souls, but without faith, they will receive the wages of unrighteousness. In the end, they will find themselves engulfed in the depths of destruction.
Right.
Faith alone can enable us to enter and pass through our trials. Without faith, we would be overwhelmed by our trials. By faith, we understand that in the world we will have tribulation. But faith, even during our afflictions, by faith we know that in Christ we have peace. Only persevering faith can enable us to pass safely through all the trials that we encounter in this life.
Right.
So, just wanted to read a short couple sentence paragraph from the commentary that came across that deals with this. The test of faith is trusting God when all we have are His promises, when the waters are piled high all around us and problems and dangers are about to overwhelm us. This is when faith is tested, and when the Lord takes special pleasure in showing us His faithfulness, His love, and His power. When we have nothing but His promise to rely on, His help is the nearest and His presence the dearest to those who believe. Thought that was fitting.
Yes.
Written.
And we're saved by grace through faith in
yes.
Jesus Christ.
Yes. Okay. So
this is a good Bible study, man. Amen.
Next week we'll continue the Israelite story, but Moses is out of the picture at that point. We'll continue at verse 30. The Lord wills.
Amen, man. Praise the Lord.
Father, we thank you. We thank you for giving us faith. We thank you that you are faithful. We thank you that we can rely on you. We thank you that we have your word. We have all that we need. Your word is sufficient. It is more than all we need. It is by your word that we come to faith in you, that we come to faith in your Son, Jesus Christ. It is by your word that we know what you want and expect of us as your children. It is through your word that we know that you will continue what you have started in us. You are faithful. Your faithfulness endures forever. You have been faithful from the beginning, and you will be faithful and true to the very end. We thank you for this. We pray in your Son, Jesus' name. Amen.